You know the words. Wherever you are in your journey of faith, come to the holy table. That's our invitation given at All Saints for Eucharist. Considering the parable we just heard, we might say, wherever you are in your journey of faith, come to the wedding banquet of the groom. Robert Capon points out that this parable we just heard, like most of Jesus' parables, operates under the principle of inclusion before there is exclusion. Inclusion before there is exclusion. So, the beginning of the parable right there are 10 bridesmaids. All of them have been invited. All of them get to go. God's invitation is for everyone. God invites all. Yet every invitation, human or divine, requires a decision. Shall I accept the invitation or shall I refuse it? To decide, and I'm just thinking here, you know, those invitations that show up and you throw on your kitchen table or something, get buried, finally you dig it out and open it up. We have to consider what it will cost us to go and what we will miss if we don't go. So, you know, you get an invitation to a wedding. Well, church is 100 miles away. Got to factor that in. I have to wear a suit. I'd have to miss the Patriots game. But if I don't go, I may miss the greatest party ever. Every invitation requires a decision. And this invitation, Jesus would have us know, comes from God. And I believe it comes every day, maybe you could say every moment, and it puts in front of us the greatest decisions we ever face. Our decision every morning determines which life we will live that day. The life the ego invites us to live, which is that we ignore the needs of our neighbor and thereby start to fall into selfishness and spiritual sickness. Or the life God invites us to live, in which we serve our neighbor and grow in love and abundant life. Put another way, it's a decision that confronts us every day in the face of our neighbor. Do I choose to accept the invitation of my ego or the invitation of Jesus? So let's look at the parable, right? It starts out on a positive note. All 10 bridesmaids are waiting for the bridegroom to appear so they can usher him to the wedding. Reminds me, and some of you will remind you, of the Drew Hickox wedding some of us went to this summer. And at one point, the very beginning, they called and said, all the friends of the groom, get up out of your seats and go out into the parking lot. This is at the Danvers Yacht Club. And greet the groom as he approaches on a horse. Apparently, elephants are hard to secure in North Shore. And we did. We went out there, and there he is. There's the groom on a horse. And we turn, and we escort, usher him, lead him to his beautiful waiting bride. It was fun, exciting, and very different from what normally happens when we're sitting in a pew waiting for the bride and groom to come to us. And by the way, this image of us meeting the groom and escorting, or the bridesmaids meeting the groom, escorting him to the wedding, helps explain a very strange line in 1 Thessalonians. If you were paying attention to that, then it's been used in the Left Behind series to create a terrible theology. Because in that place, you know, in 1 Thessalonians, it says, the dead will rise and meet the returning Jesus in the air. Well, some said, well, that means they're going to go up in the air, meet Jesus, and then keep going back to heaven, and it's going to just be terrible on the earth. That's not what Paul means at all. What he means is they go up, greet Jesus, and say, we'll lead you down to earth where there will be the new creation, and you will be Lord and lover of all. You see the difference there? Very different. Going to meet Christ and then usher him to the earth. So all 10 bridesmaids, You should know in most translation that word there for bridesmaids is virgins. All 10 are there to meet the groom, these young, very young women. But only 5 are ready to meet the groom. The other 5 bridesmaids leave just as the groom is arriving. They are missing in action. He comes around the corner, they're not there, nowhere to be found. Gone of their own free will. They were there, they were invited, but then they decided to go shopping instead. That's what it says. And this is the important point. The groom doesn't leave them, they leave the groom. They accepted his invitation, but they didn't think through the cost of accepting that invitation. They didn't think they might have to wait hours for him to show up, and consequently that they might need to bring extra oil for their lamps. These 5 are willing to follow the groom only on their terms, according to their timetable and their convenience. They could have brought extra oil like the other 5, so why didn't they? Well, we're not told, so let's trot out some theories here. All of these make sense to me. One theory is they're just lazy. I get that. This waiting for Jesus to come and make things right is hard. It's hard. So let's just coast. Let's just protect me and my family. Let's appear a little bit spiritual, talk the talk, but let's never really break a sweat when it's time to walk the walk. Another theory is that maybe this is for New Englanders among us, maybe theory is they're just a little cheap. Not willing to spend that few extra bucks to buy the oil. They're into receiving, but not so much into giving. They are what we might call consumer Christians. Want to be fed, but not so much want to feed others. To take a lot and only give a little. My church in North Carolina, where I was for 20 years, I got tired of hearing some of these folks tell me they changed churches because they just weren't being fed in their current church. And often they weren't being fed precisely because they were not willing to give of themselves to feed others, which is, as you know, the best way to get fed. You're feeling depressed, go help someone else. Maybe another reason they don't buy the oil is they're, and I get this one, too busy. Life is hectic, lots to do. It's like Hugh Grant, one of my favorite movies, 4 Weddings and a Funeral, if you've seen it. He's consistently late for the 4 weddings. And in the first one, he's really late. He gets up, you know, hair on fire, rushing around. And of course, the reason is he's the best man. He slides in at the last moment, but in the rush, he forgets to bring the ring. Here's another theory I read about. They don't bring the oil because they are too embarrassed. I mean, you know, tugging around that emptied out old Clorox bleach bottle and filled with kerosene. Who wants to be walking around downtown with that in your hand? It would look funny. And God forbid that our faith would make us look funny in the eyes of society. As many of you will remember, we had a big weekend last weekend with Bishop Gale here, and she met with the vestry after meeting with everybody else and gave out some pamphlets for us to read. So I read one called A Shy Person's Guide to the Practice of Evangelism. And in it, it said the average Episcopalian invites a friend to church once every 27 years. But the author is hopeful. He is hopeful that this pamphlet will cut that number in half. In all these scenarios, what is most important, though, right, is not the groom, but the comfort of the bridesmaids. Someone may be saying, well, I was told, we just had Reformation Sunday a couple weeks ago, we're saved by grace. All I have to do is give my mental assent to certain propositions about the nature of Jesus and the nature of the Holy Trinity, and then I can live on my terms and nicely fit in into my comfortable status quo. Robert Capon says, faith is not an assent to theological propositions. Rather, faith, quote, is the living out of a trust relationship with a person. Five women take the invitation of the groom seriously. They are in a relationship with the groom, and it's important to them. And five women take the invitation of the groom, but he's not really important to them, so they're not going to prepare, and they're not going to wait. And at the end of the story, and this is a parable of judgment, at the end of the story, the groom gets to say who actually has a relationship with him. He does not say to the five late girls, I never invited you. No, all were invited. Rather, he says, I don't seem to know you. And the haunting question for us is, where does the invitation of Christ rank in the hierarchy of invitations we receive every day? We're always being bombarded with invitations to go this way or that way. And the answer can be found in the question, do I want to be in a deeper relationship with Christ? That's the question. Do I want to be in a deeper relationship, or do I want to just take the one I have with Christ at my confirmation 45 years ago? No, do I want to go deeper? Do I want to treat Christ as a living presence that I can get to know and he can know me better, get to know me better? Do I care enough about Christ to talk to him every day? We call that prayer. Do I care enough about Christ to give sacrificially of my money to support his mission to the last and the least and the lost? Or do I just want to keep it as a buffer against the world for me and mine? Do I care enough about Christ to throw myself onto his mercy every time I fail to love my neighbor? Do I care enough about Christ to carry around that funny looking jug of oil? Jesus says this invitation from God presents us with the greatest decisions of our lives. It's a decision, there are decisions which will determine which life we live this day. The life in which we ignore the invitation of Christ hidden in the needs of our neighbor, and thus we begin drifting into hardness of heart and spiritual sickness. Or the life in which we accept the invitation of Christ hidden in our neighbor's needs and thus grow through the Holy Spirit towards love and life. Well, it's a parable of judgment, kind of heavy, right? Let me end on a light note the way Robert Capon does in his book and the chapter on this parable. He writes, he says, quote, God is not our mother-in-law. I could stop there, and some of us would be thrilled. But he says, God is not our mother-in-law coming to see whether her wedding present china has been chipped. No, no. He is a funny old uncle with a salami under one arm and a bottle of wine under the other. We do indeed need to watch for him, but only because it would be such a pity to miss all the fun. Amen.